I love that. I love this church. I said, what time do we finish? He said, whenever you want. It's great. It's great to see the nations here, wasn't it? Wasn't that wonderful to have that song in Farsi from our friends from Iran? That was so beautiful. And actually, it so fits in with what I want to speak about, actually, amazingly. I'm just amazed at the different nations that we've got here. So if you are not born in the United Kingdom, like not born in the UK, or not, that's not your heritage. You would say, my cultural heritage comes through it. Now, for the sake of this, I just want to make clear, Lancashire and Yorkshire are in the United Kingdom. The North and the South are in the United Kingdom. For the sake of completeness, we'll call Scotland a separate nation, we'll call Wales a separate nation, and we'll call Northern Ireland a separate nation. So if you weren't born in England, let's put it that way, or you don't class England as your heritage, I just want to really honour you this morning because it's so good to see the nations come together to worship God. This is a touch of heaven. It's a touch of what we're going to experience in eternity, of all nations being together. So if that's if you're not born in the United Kingdom, or the United Kingdom, in England, let's just say England, and England isn't your kind of home heritage, would you just stand for me, please? There should be lots of you here. You might need some translation. Wow. Stay standing. You come. back. Okay, well, no, we understand. Sit down here. We understand. Stay standing. This gentleman has a back problem. Stay standing. Let's shout out really loud where you're from. And each time we hear a new nation, a nation for the first time, we can applaud.
Caribbean.
Whoa. And then you may sit down once you've said it. Iran.
Iran.
Iran. We can cheer lots for Iran. Iran. Hey, the Iranians. We love the Iranians.
Jesus, you love any Iranians.
He loved the Iranians. That's right. Amen. Amen. So where else?
Caribbean.
All the Caribbeans. Hey. It's wonderful. I didn't hear that. Nigeria, wonderful, Nigeria. Where's this? I knew you would catch one there, and you would catch one. That's great.
Scotland.
Oh.
British Guyana.
What? Yay. Philippines. Brilliant. That's a new nation to me. Hallelujah, Nigeria. But I believe it's giving God his glory. Wonderful. It's so good to be here. It's so great to see the nations worshipping God. And I do feel God's put a scripture on my heart. It's something I've been really stirred with recently. And amazingly, we shouldn't be surprised, should we? But amazingly, it fits in with so much that's been prayed about this morning. It fits in with that last song that you led us in so well, Pete. Maybe we could come back to that song at the end. And it also fits in brilliantly. Can we just have the words back up for the song in Farsi from James? I just feel that the verses that I'm going to speak about out of Isaiah, and you could already be turning to Isaiah if you like. Let's just leave those verses up, because you can see in a moment how relevant those verses in James and the song that was so beautifully written out of those verses in James that talk about the spring rain, the autumn and the spring rains. God doing something new of refreshing, and his Holy Spirit coming like water and spring. You'll realise, as I quote from Isaiah chapter 43, you'll realise how relevant these things are to us. If you've got a Bible, I'm going to read it in the English version of the NIV, but you might want to be reading it in your own translation. This is Isaiah and chapter 43. And let me just set the context first, just to understand where we've come from here in Isaiah. The people of God are in trouble. The people of God are in difficulty. The people of God are in exile. They've been taken out of the land of promise, the promised land that God had given to them through Moses and Joshua, and then established through great kings like David and Solomon. But God had said to them, if you obey my commands, if you live God's way, if you live my way, if you do all that I'm asking you to do, I'm going to bless you and prosper you and give you great fruitfulness. But if you persist in falling after foreign gods, if you persist in going after demonic practices of the nations, child sacrifice, bad sexual practices at the temple, if you persist in intermarrying with foreigners and taking on their practices, if you persist in doing this, then I'm going to discipline you. Not punish you, but discipline you. And the people of God at the moment are under discipline. They have been taken out of the land and they've been brought into captivity in Babylon. And they're very sad. You know, we used to sing songs by the rivers of Babylon. We sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. And our captors say, sing to us a song of the Lord. Sing to us a new song. How can we sing the song of Zion in a strange land? We're depressed. We're pushed down. We're really in a bad place. But always, God raises up prophets to speak to the church and to speak to his people here, Israel. And the prophets have been raised up, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and they've spoken hope even in difficulty. And I want you to know that even if you feel you're in difficulty this morning, even if you feel a bit pushed down, even if you feel a bit suppressed or depressed, even if you feel that maybe you feel like you're in exile, maybe you're literally in a foreign land and you wish you weren't in a foreign land, maybe you're in a difficult situation, maybe you even feel you're under discipline, maybe you even feel that, you even feel I'm in a difficult place, Isaiah prophesies hope to the people of God. And we can speak that hope to ourselves today, because what happened, and we're going to read the passage in a moment, it's only a couple of verses, what happened for them is that hope was fulfilled when they were released from captivity, brought back to the land of Israel, and not only were they then able to be the people of God, but one from amongst them emerged, as Isaiah calls, the servant of the Lord, who we know is Jesus. And he came to set the people free from their true captivity, which was not the Babylonians, it was their sin and their disobedience. And Jesus came to die and to set them free and for them to again be a hope and a light to the nations. And that's the context of this passage. It's a passage in difficulty, a people in difficulty, but a people who have been promised hope. There's hope. There's a deliverer coming. There's a saviour coming. There's a suffering servant who's going to come and take away all your shame and your oppression. And it's going to be like streams in the desert. It's going to be like fresh water when you're totally parched. Now that's the context. Let's have a read of our scripture. It's Isaiah chapter 43. And we're just going to read two verses. I wish we had more time to unpack more, but we haven't. We'll just look at Isaiah 43 and verse 18 to 19. And you'll see how it fits in with the beautiful song that our Iranian friends brought. Verse 18. Forget the former things. That's all the difficulty, all the trouble, all the persecution, all the problems you've been through. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And the word dwell there means to live. Don't live in the past. Don't live under past problems. Don't live in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Can you say springs up? See, that's very African, isn't it? That's very African, isn't it? See, in Africa, where I'm going to Africa next week or the week after next, and you know, whenever you say a phrase like that, in Africa it's the law. It's like you have to repeat it back. So now it springs up. Say springs up. Springs up. See, we're all African now. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? See, I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland, or springs in the wasteland. And I just want to speak to you about, first of all, forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. Some of you have been through difficulties. Some of you have been through troubles. Some of you have been through church troubles. Some of you have been through personal troubles. Some of you have been through national issues of immigration and separation and having to claim asylum and refugee. And we want you to know you're so welcome here in our nation. But some of you have been through real difficulties in that. And God wants to say to you, folks, forget the past troubles. Don't live there. Don't dwell. People can live in the past. They can live under circumstances. They can live under pressure. They can live under guilt and fear. And they can live under that. And God says, no, I want to set you free from that. You do not have to live under the past. You do not have to live in the past. And you do not have to live under those past circumstances. I am doing a new thing. Forget the former things. Forget about it. Now, let me ask you a question here, and Stephen will answer this, because he's a good pastor. Isn't Stephen a good pastor? Brilliant, says a lady there. So he's well theologically trained, isn't he?
Sometimes.
He's well theologically trained, and he knows the answers, doesn't he? So we'll ask Stephen a question. See, this verse starts off, doesn't it? It says, forget the former things. That's the Bible, isn't it? It's true, isn't it? It's always true. It's not just true then, it's true now, it's true eternity. So Stephen, does the Bible ever contradict the Bible? Think carefully, because I'm leading you down a path.
Yes, I know.
Oh, brilliant. What a brilliant pastor. You see, it says forget the former thing. Now, just turn with me to chapter 46. Same book, same writer. Chapter 46. Stephen, you can read this out for me. Chapter 46 and verse 9. What does chapter 46 and verse 9 say?
It says, remember the things I have done in the past.
Or in the NIV, remember the former things. That's it, keep going.
So, remember the former things, those long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God.
That's it. So it's a bit confusing, isn't it? One verse he says, forget the former things. And another verse he says, remember the former things. What are we supposed to... I'm a bit confused. What are we supposed... And Stephen answered so wisely, yes and no. Now, the Bible isn't confused. Let me give you some understanding into this. It's saying, forget the bad things. It's saying, forget the pressures. Forget the turmoil. Forget the depression. Forget the bad circumstances. Forget those enemies. Forget your sin. See, God himself remembers your sin no more. See, we tend to forget. The trouble with forgetting is you can remember again, can't you? Some of us forget. I forget where I leave my car keys sometimes. I forget where I've put something down. Is it just me, or is that, do you do things like that? I forget where I put my cup of coffee down sometimes, and Anne finds it on the shelf. I forget, but then you can remember it again. Oh yeah, that's right, I remember. Well, actually, God not only forgets our sin, he says he remembers it no more. That's Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions and remembers your sin no more. However, there are some things that we're told to remember. And this context here of Isaiah 46 is saying, remember the Lord. Remember his goodness. Remember his faithfulness. Remember that he's always been with you in difficult times, in good times, in trials and difficulties. He is faithful and good and will remain with you forever. So there are things we forget. There are things that we can remember. And let's just see what it says. It says here, see, let's get it right, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past, see, I'm doing a new thing. I feel God would say to you here in Blackburn, I'm doing a new thing amongst you. This church has been going for many years. It's been through various incarnations. It's been through various leaderships. But right now, I feel with this leadership at this time, in this moment, God is doing something new amongst you. And it's about the nations, actually. It's about bringing together and being a prophetic declaration to Blackburn and to Lancashire and to the northwest of England that God loves the nations and that the nations are all part of his big family. And he wants to bring all the nations together to be one new man in Christ, one new body, the beautiful body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and to display his goodness to all the earth. That's what God is doing through you. And it talks about this springing up. I'm doing a new thing, now it springs up. And isn't that beautiful how, like spring rains, the Holy Spirit falls on us to refresh our garden existence. And God is doing this. Now, let me use the word spring. Now, this might not translate into different languages. In fact, it probably won't translate into different languages. But in English, the word spring has at least three meanings. Number one, it's springtime. The season of spring. In fact, the reason it's called spring is new things spring up from the earth. New thing, new life comes. And I feel God would say to you, it's springtime. Obviously, right now, it's not springtime, it's summertime. I understand that. But in God's economy, the season over this church is springtime. The season over this church, you've been through a very harsh winter. You've been through a difficult season. To quote George Harrison, you've been through a long, cold, lonely winter, but here comes the sun. I really, God's sunshine of his presence, the sunshine of his love is shining upon you, and it's going to be like springtime again in the church. New things are going to spring up, new shoots are going to come, new ministries, new activities, new expressions of his love and his mercy are going to spring up. This is a very fertile time of year. It's a very fertile time for this church. God is saying, forget the past, winter is over. It's springtime in the church and new things are going to come up. Now, it reminds me a little bit of the Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs, which is such a beautiful love story in the Bible. It's such a beautiful love story of Solomon and his shepherdess bride. It's a love poem primarily, but down through the ages, people have always associated it with the love of Christ for his church and the church for Christ. And there's this beautiful passage in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 10 to 13. It says this: my beloved spoke to me and said, arise, my darling, come with me. See, the winter is past. The winter rains, are over. Flowers are appearing all over the earth. This is the season of singing. The cooing of the doves, that's kind of onomatopoeic of the birds and the bees and new things being birthed. The cooing of the doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blooming vine spreads their fragrance. This is about a garden, refreshing a garden. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. And I feel God is saying to you that this is a season of spring in the church. It's a season for new things to spring up. I want to prophesy new leadership springing up in this church to stand alongside the existing leaders. And that might be you. It might be leaders from different nations. It might be men and women stepping up into leadership. It might be young and old stepping up into leadership. It might be experienced and inexperienced stepping up into leadership. The trouble is we have one style of leadership, which is sometimes white, slightly chubby, fat, middle-aged, grey-haired. I can't imagine who you might be looking at right now. But we have one form of leadership and one style of leadership. But God wants young and old. He wants black and white. He wants men and women. He wants experienced and inexperienced to step up into leadership gifts. And there are new ministries, new things that God wants to birth amongst you that are really going to bless this community. See, the church doesn't exist for itself. The church is rooted in Christ, but fruits in the world. And God wants your fruitfulness, the fruit of this spring garden that he's doing. Look at that next verse. To become full of fruits. He wants you to become full of fruits. And for people outside in Blackburn, Lancashire, you have to say it like that. Blackburn, no, I can't do the accent at all. In Blackburn, Lancashire, God wants you to be fruitful in the community. He wants the people of Blackburn, the people of Lancashire, the people of the Northwest to taste and see that the Lord is good. To see the fruit of your life, to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Look at that, like a branch of your vine. Kindness, fruit, happiness, meekness, humility, enduring love. All those things God wants to produce in you so that your neighbours and your friends might taste and see. They might taste of your kindness, which is really the kindness of the Lord. They might taste of your goodness, which is really the goodness of God. They might taste of your love, which is really the love of God expressed in the church. People out there are never going to meet God in the clouds. They meet God in the flesh. See, God took on flesh. He became incarnate. He took on flesh as his own son put on flesh. He took on flesh so that people could meet God in the flesh. That's the truth of the gospel. God put on flesh. He became flesh for us. And so that Jesus said, you want to see the Father? Oh yeah, we'd like to see God. Oh, who wouldn't want to see God? He said, have a look at me. I'm God in the flesh. Now, we are the people of God in Christ. And actually, we are representatives of God to our nation, to our city, to our towns, to our villages, to our neighbourhoods. Now, we're not Jesus Christ, but we are in Christ. And God, but people will never see God, but they'll see us and they'll see God in us. That's why spiritual fruit and character, how we behave, how we love our neighbours, how we look after our families, how we honour one another and love, that's why it matters. Yes. Because people are there's eyes looking at you all the time. What do they see? The flesh? Or do they see God in the flesh? What do they see in you? Because I believe there's fruitfulness coming for this town, for these cities around here. And God is promising you fruitfulness. Now, it's interesting, in the Song of Solomon there, it talks about the season of singing has come. And I believe singing talks of creativity. And I believe there's new creativity for you here in Blackburn, for the Northwest. There's new songs to be sung. It's just so encouraging to hear that you've got the youth, the music group are gathering tonight. It was so encouraging to see our Farsi Iranian friends singing to us. There's new songs. There's Caribbean songs. There's African songs. There's songs from the Far East and the Middle East. There's songs from around the world. There's songs to be sung. There's new creativity that God wants to birth. And God wants to do something in amongst your young people as well. He wants to do something amongst you guys. So God's birthing something in our youth. See, often it's the tenderest, youngest little shoots on a plant that are going to bear the most fruit. And I want to prophesy that God wants to do something through worship, through music, through creativity, through youth, through young people, through God doing new things. It's the season of spring in Community Church Blackburn. Secondly, the second use of the word spring in English, it probably doesn't translate into Farsi or into other nations, other languages, but the second use is that sense of like a coiled spring. Like, because now it springs up. Now it springs up. You think about a coiled spring. You push a spring down and it springs up, doesn't it? And I thought God wants to say, some of you have been under immense pressure. Some of you have been pushed down and you feel like you're carrying a heavy weight. Now, there's two things that are going to happen, and they're two slightly different pictures, so don't get them muddled up. They're two slightly different pictures. One is that as you get pushed down, actually, it's like being in a wine press. that God is doing something wonderful to release fruitfulness in you. And it's like the more pressure you get, the more wine's going to come. There's beautiful wine from the Shiraz area of Iran, which I know is where beautiful wine is produced, because my friends from Iran tell me about beautiful Iranian wine. And that's how you say it. I can't say it. How do you say it? Shiraz wine from Iran. Yeah, beautiful wine. And there's beautiful wine that God's going to release in this church. This beautiful fruitfulness, the fruit of the vine. And actually, it's when you're under pressure, it's when you're pushed down, it's when difficulties come into your life. It's actually through those difficulties that God is at work the most. That's what we sang in that song. When we're under pressure the most, we receive more grace to help in time of need. And as I was talking to Anne about this, Anne said, well, I've just read a modern day parable which kind of displays this. So let Anne come up and tell us this parable, this story, because it'll really help you, I think.
Okay, this is a modern day parable, modern day story, which I hope you'll be able to interpret and apply to yourselves. A water bearer in India had two large pots. Both hung on the ends of a pole, which he carried across his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it, while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water. At the end of the long walk from the stream to the house, the cracked pot always arrived half full. The poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection and miserable that it was able to accomplish only half of what it had been made to do. After 2 years of what it perceived to be a bitter failure, it spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. I am ashamed of myself and I want to apologize to you. I have been able to deliver only half my load because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all of this work and you don't get full value from your efforts. The bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side? That's because I have always known about your flaw, and I planted flower seeds on your side of the path. And every day while we walked back, you watered them. For 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate the table. Without you being just the way you are, there would not be this beauty to grace the house." And it's a perfect story of God's grace for each one of us in this room. We are all weak. We all have cracks. We all leak. But as we do that, as we recognize that our strength comes from Jesus, that's where his glory is displayed through us. So each one of us, the glory of Jesus shines out of, because we are weak, but we depend on him.
Brilliant. See, that's what Paul says. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, we have this treasure, this glory of God, in jars of clay. We're weak. It's to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, if you see a very strong, healthy pot, you say, what an amazing pot. But if you see a weak pot, if you see a cracked pot, I have to be careful how I say that, if you see a cracked pot, and yet oozing out of it is the glory of God, you say how good is God, how glorious God is. And we don't want people to look at us and say how good we are. We want people to look at us and say how glorious God is. In fact, there's no one from Japan here, is there? Just checking. Anyone speak Japanese? Oh, no, yeah. Very good, that's it. That's all I do. But no, I have another word, and it's the Japanese word kintsukuru. Ah, kintsukuru. And if you can Google this later on the internet, or as we call it here, tinternet, you can Google this, that's a kind of northern expression. Look on tinternet. No, internet, not tinternet. Look on, no, anyway. Look, you can Google this and look up Japanese art of pottery repair. Because for us, if we break a pot, we throw it away and we go to the shops and buy a new one. In Japan, if they break a pot, they feel there's something of honour about the pot and they won't throw it away, they'll repair it. But they'll repair it not secretly with super glue. I once knocked over, I was doing some cleaning at home when Anne was out, and I knocked over one of her statues and knocked the head off it. And I had to super glue it back, and it never quite looked the same. It was a beautiful lady like this, and then she hoped she wouldn't notice. And I tried to sit. Now, the Japanese don't do anything secret. They repair the cracks with pure gold, and they actually make the pot look even more glorious because it's all the repairs, all the seams are shining out with gold. That's what God's doing in your life. He's repairing you with seams of gold. He's using the gold of His Holy Spirit to repair your life. And it doesn't hide it. It doesn't hide your flaws, your cracks, your weaknesses. He shines out through them. Now, that's one of the things of a spring being pushed down. But another thing about a spring is it springs back up. And I feel for some of you, you've been under pressure, but God says to you, I want you to spring back up. I want there to be energy of the Spirit to come to you, and that energy, see, the more you push a spring down, the more kinetic energy is stored in the spring, and the more energy and power will actually spring back up. You see, that's the thing about the enemy. He's actually doing some of God's work for him, ironically. As the enemy persecutes us, as the enemy pushes us down, actually God says, no, my power is being stored in that person, and then to spring back up to life. We see it most glorious in the person of Jesus. When he was on the cross, it was like all the weight of the world was upon him. It was like every bit filth and sin and degradation and shame and badness and evil was on him. He was pushed down. He was crushed, it says in the Bible. We sang a song about that earlier. He was crushed for us. He was pushed down for us, and it looked like it was over. When Jesus prayed his last words, some of his last words were not, I'm finished, but it's finished. It's done. But it looked like he was finished. It looked like he was over. But 3 days later, he sprang back into life. 3 days later, the glory of God would not stay put down. He paid for the sin. He punished sin in his own body. And actually, the glory of God raised Christ back up to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. He sprang back up to life. And dear friends, we're in Christ. We're in the life giver. We're in the one who springs back life into us. And some of you are suffering with things. Some of you are hitting problems and difficulties. For some of you, it's going to be beautiful wine comes out of a wine press, and beautiful fruitfulness is going to come even in your difficulty. But for some of you, even this morning, God wants to spring back life and give you new life and give you new strength and give you freedom. Now, I've got one more section of this to preach, but we're going to end in worship at the end. But I always think it's good that we minister God's truth. So if you right now, if any of you right now, for whatever reason, you feel you're pushed down, you feel you're under pressure, you're under circumstances, you feel it might be life circumstances, might be health circumstances, might be family circumstances, might be asylum seeker, refugee, national, it might be whatever it is, you feel you're being pushed down right now. We want to just pray for you that the grace of God would be at work in your life and you'd spring back up to life and that through you, beautiful wine and fragrance and life and love would be seen to a nation. So if that's you, we're not going to take long over this, just quickly, if that's you, I wonder if you would just stand right now if you feel that's you. It's going to be a few of us, so don't feel shy, don't feel embarrassed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is a very precious moment right now, because these are not just any people. These are our people. Yeah? These are our people. These are our brothers and sisters. This is our body that's being pushed down. And it doesn't matter how healthy the rest of the body is, if you drop a brick on your toe, it doesn't matter how healthy your head and your hands and your heart are, the whole body screams out in pain, doesn't it? Now, these are our friends. These are our body. These are our family. And they're suffering right now. They're under pressure right now. So I wonder if the rest of us would just like to raise our hands, put our hands towards them. If it's appropriate, you might just want to touch them if it's appropriate. Let's just pray right now. Let's honour our suffering brothers and sisters. Lord, we love your church. We love your body. We love our brothers and sisters who are suffering right now. Lord, we know that our brothers and sisters are going through suffering all over the world, but they're also suffering here in Blackburn. They're suffering here in our church. And therefore, we pray for our brothers and sisters, Lord. We pray blessing on them. We pray, Lord Jesus, that what the enemy has tried for evil, Lord, you would turn it out for good. You turn beautiful wine to come out of our brothers and sisters that will be for healing of the nations. Lord, you take beautiful circumstances. There'd be beautiful fruitfulness that would come out of my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray specifically right now in Jesus' name that things which oppress them in Jesus' name would be broken and they would spring back up to life right now in Jesus' name. I pray for new life, new birth, new strength, new filling, new works of the Spirit being done in their lives, Lord, that life would come, that they'd spring back to life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters from the nations who are standing. We're so grateful. We so receive our brothers and sisters from other nations. We say you're part of our family now. You're part of this bride, this expression of the bride, this body. We love the nations here. And we thank you, Lord, for what you want to do in them right now and in the nations right now. That this church is going to have an impact in the nations. Hallelujah. This church is going to spring up and fruitfulness is going to go from here to the nations. Now just pray comfort, blessing and strength in Jesus' name to our dear brothers and our dear sisters. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Please be seated. Thank you for responding. The last piece of this puzzle in terms of spring. It's springtime in Community Church Blackburn. There's a spring of life that God wants to do here. He wants you to spring back to life because you've been pushed down. But also, there's a spring of living water. And that's again what our friends from Iran taught us. That this is from the letter of James, that the early there's going to be rain. It talks about in the NIV, spring rain and autumn rain. There's fresh rain, fresh springs. And it says, let like spring rains, the Holy Spirit rain on us. Refresh our garden. There's this thing of rain coming down, but also spring, fresh springs coming up. Where my parents live in a town called Hastings on the south coast of England. That's where I grew up. Battle of Hastings, if you're familiar with all that kind of history of our nation, 1066. There's a part of our road which is on a hill. And it doesn't matter how many times the council come to repair the tarmac or the asphalt or whatever they put down. It doesn't matter how many times. It's, it, water breaks through the tarmac because there's a living spring under that road. And even tarmac, even asphalt, even concrete, even things which we think are impenetrable, water springs through. And there's a power in water. That's why God refers to his Holy Spirit like water. We've got it here in this beautiful painting. Fire and water. They're both, that's water coming down from heaven, by the way. That's the water of God, the rain of God, the spring of God coming down from heaven and fire coming up. And actually, in the natural, they cancel one another out. In the supernatural, it's just like putting petrol on fire. Because the whole thing just goes up more with his, when his rain comes, when his glory comes, when his presence comes, the church is on fire. And folks, God is opening up a spring of living water in this church. And I think some of you don't see it. I think some of you have been around churches too long. And you just get used to the religiousness of it. You just get used to the normality of it. You get used to singing songs, but you don't know the power of God that's amongst you. You don't know the spring of the Holy Spirit that wants to spring up with new life in this place, to become a well of living water for this town, to be a watering hole, an oasis for this town. You don't know what grace you've got. You don't know what power you've got. You don't know what authority you've got. You don't know what God has given you, because it's living water, it's powerful, it's dynamic, it's the Holy Spirit. See, it says in the verses that we've been looking at, it says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Perception. Perceive. Look. Open your eyes. And folks, I think God wants to open our eyes. Paul prays in Ephesians that the eyes of our hearts. So you've got two sets of eyes. You've got the natural eyes and you've got the spiritual eyes. And God wants to open your spiritual eyes that you might see the hope. What does that verse actually say? It says, I pray, Ephesians 1:8, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, opened, in order that you may know the hope of which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. This is the holy people of God. You are so rich. I reckon that if you're from Blackburn, you don't think you're some of the richest people on planet Earth. You probably think that's the people in London or New York. But you are rich. The spiritual riches that God has put in this place are enormous. And he wants you to know that. He wants you to go away from this place this morning knowing that you're carrying spiritual riches for your neighbours. Knowing that you're carrying spiritual riches for your nation. Let me give you an example of this to show you how you've got to open your eyes sometime. It's a famous story. I don't know whether it's true, but it's told by Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of 150 or so years ago, late 1800s. And he tells the story of a preacher going to a very poor lady's house, a pauper's house. Now, this was the day before social care, before maintenance payments, before payments for people who are unemployed or ill or unable to work. We thank God for the country that we live in that gives us those benefits, but we used to live in a country that didn't do it. Interestingly enough, it was the Christians who pioneered some of that social care and health care and government care, and we should be grateful for that, actually. Now, in those days, they didn't have that, and he visited this very poor lady who had nothing. She was a pauper, single lady on her own, and he said, tell me your story. And he said the story of how she used to work in the big house. You know, everywhere there's a big house up the road, isn't there? There's always a big house. There's the mansion up the road. She said, well, you know the big house up the road? She said, I used to work there. I was the chief servant. I was the top steward. I was the person who looked after the whole house. And it used to be a big family, but it died off and died off and died off. And the servants used to be magnificent, but they got smaller and smaller and smaller. Till the end, it was just me and the master of the house. He was the lord of the manor, and I was the chief servant. I used to look after the house, I used to look after his needs, and when he died, it was a very sad day when he died. It was sad for me because she said, I lost everything. The executors came along and they kicked me out of the house, and they threw me out, But it was very sad. But there was one joyful piece, she said, and I'm so grateful for this. She said, the master, when he died, just before he died, managed to write me a letter. And he wrote me a letter of thanks. And I've got a letter of thanks from the master. And I'm so grateful that he thanked me in his dying day. And she said, in fact, I'm so proud of this letter, I've got it framed. I've had it framed on the wall. Here it is, look, on the wall. This beautiful letter from the master. And the preacher looks at the letter. And he looks at the woman. And he looks at the letter. And he looks at the woman. And he says, when was the last time you read this letter? She said, what do you mean, read? She said, I can't read, I'm illiterate. No, but it's a thank you letter, isn't it? He says, no, it's not. At which point she's so distraught. Oh, I thought it was the thank you. He said, no, it's not a thank you letter. It's a last will and testament. He's leaving everything to you. You're in your manner. You're rich beyond your wildest dreams. All this is yours now.
Yeah.
Does that not kind of ring true?
Yes.
There was a death.
Thank you.
There was a will.
Yes,
all riches are now given to us in Christ in the heavenly places. All blessings are ours in Christ. But we live like paupers. We live like we've got no power. We live like we've got no authority. We live like we've got nothing, but God's given us everything in Christ. Dear friends, this morning, he wants to open your eyes to see the glory of God in the church amongst you, that he's opening up a spring of living water, that you are going to be water carriers. You're going to be like dispensers. The world around us is in drought. The world around us is thirsty. The world around us is bankrupt. The world around us has nothing, but we're his water bearers. We're his water carriers. We're those who are supposed to take the riches of God in Christ out to our friends, our family, our neighbours. What have you been doing this weekend? I've been getting rich. If you kind of say that to your neighbours, I bet they'll be slightly interested. I've been getting rich. I've been getting really rich this weekend. Rich? Wow! Did you win the lottery? Did you? How did you win the horses? How did you? No. I've gone to church. Do they do the lottery in church? I've gone to church, and I've discovered that God has blessed me with faith and love and hope and peace and healing and deliverance and mercy and grace. And I want to give you a little bit of that. Out of the riches of his glorious inheritance that he's put in me, I want to bless you. I want to pray for you to be well. I want to pray for you to be blessed. I want to pray for you to know the Lord Jesus as your personal saviour. I want you to come to our church and receive the riches of God. God is doing something in this church. He's opening up a well of the Spirit, a spring of the Spirit. Do you perceive it? And it's going to be like water in the wasteland. Do some people think Blackburn's a bit like a wasteland sometimes? Do you kind of feel it's like a desert sometimes? Do you feel it's like nothing much happens in this city, nothing much happens in this town, nothing much happens in my area? It all happens in Manchester or Birmingham or London or Liverpool or New York. It all happens elsewhere. So it's all somewhere else. No, it's here. The blessing of God is here in this town, in this church, a new spring, spring up. Do you perceive it? Streams in the desert, life in the wilderness. Dear friends, God is giving you blessing. He wants to open your eyes to the riches of all he's done in Christ for you. Now, we're going to end this meeting by just worshipping him. And I've asked Pete if we could sing that song again, because it's very Christ-centric. That's why we call our movement Christ-Central. It's all about leaning on Jesus. It's all about receiving from Jesus. It's all about his power at work in us. It's not my power. It's not your power. It's his power at work in us. And even if you're going through troubles and difficulties, even through those difficulties, God wants his power to be on display in your life and for his glory. I wonder if we just stand. I'm just going to pray as the musicians come. Lord, I want to thank you. Let's just start to thank him, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this town, in this city. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in Community Church, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in our leaders. Thank you for what you're doing in us. Thank you for what you're doing in our youth and our children. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the nations that have come here. Thank you for our asylum seekers and refugees. Thank you for those who've come from distant lands to be joined by God with us here. Thank you, Lord, that we're a light to the nations. Thank you, Lord, that we're salt in a tasteless society, that we're a preservative in a corrupt and rotten society. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, that we're filled with all the riches of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that your blessing is on us. Thank you, Lord, that we're water carriers. Lord, for a nation that's thirsty and parched in wilderness and desert, you've put a spring of living water in us, Lord. We thank you for that. Now I pray for your church here in Blackburn to rise in confidence, to lean on and to lean into the Saviour, to receive from him, that we might take out blessing to this lost and dying world. We ask that in Jesus' name, for his praise and for his glory. Let's worship him. Let's honour him as we sing this song together. Thanks, Pete.